You're listening to Life in Deep Ellum's podcast. So today's family service, so I'm going to be talking, and we'll also try to keep the service a little shorter than usual, because there are kids in the room. Crying and all the things that come along with kiddos doesn't bother me, so don't feel overwhelmed if that is your child today, okay? First things first, kids. Do you want to come up here and we'll hear a story that's really quick? Come up here. Come up here to be with me in big church. Come on. You can sit anywhere on the stage, okay? And ushers, y'all can help me make sure they're safe on the stage if you wouldn't mind. Yeah, y'all can come all the way up here and make room for everyone, okay? Okay. So today's part of the Christmas story. Hi. Has to do with a star. Can y'all see the star? Yeah. And it's not just an ordinary star, it's a special star, okay? It's a special star. This special star God made was different from every other star. It was very, very, very special. Can you say that? Very, very, very special. Thanks for helping me out. Okay. God made it to point to someone really important. Can you think of who that might be? We talk about his birthday around Christmas time. On the count of three, if you know who it is, say his name. One, two, three. Jesus, that's right. Well, one night, far away, there were these wise men, and they saw this special star in the sky, and they decided to follow it. So, everybody, get up. And if you can march in place like me, we're going to follow the star, okay? And they were marching and following the star. And then they kept marching. They kept following the star more and more and more. And then the wise men kept following and following. It's a long journey. And following the star, and then stop. The star stopped, so they stopped. Everybody sit down. The star stopped right over a house. And guess who they found in that house, Bonnie? Who was in the house? Who was in there? Jesus, yes, Haven?
Jesus.
Baby Jesus was in the house. That's right. This special star had led them to Jesus' house. And they went in and they found Jesus. And they bowed down and worshiped him. And they gave him their best gifts. And so, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to say, how do we know God loves us? And you're going to say, God sent us Jesus. You got it? Okay, ready? How do we know God loves us?
God sent us Jesus.
Let's say it a little louder this time. How do we know God loves us?
God sent us Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what the Christmas story's about. Okay, that's all. You can go back to your seats now. Thank you. So that story, that was the lesson that would have been taught today in the Littles Gathering, which is our pre-K room. And I chose it because of the call and response that is in the lesson, right? The Littles volunteer would say, how do we know God loves us? And the kids would say, because God sent us Jesus. And it's so beautiful for our kids to begin even now learning about Christmas being a time that we are cued into the fact that God loves us because he sent us Jesus. It's really great. So, even though Christmas is over, I'm going to talk a little bit about Christmas. For the past maybe 6.5 years or so, Christmas has had this uniquely different experience for me almost every year. I say 6.5 years ago because me and Mimo lived out of the country and then we moved back into the U.S. around that time. And the first year we were back, I couldn't shake this feeling of Christmas being super magical for me. Like, I know I'm an adult, but it wasn't like Santa and Elves magical. It was like very Jesus, the star, the manger, like all of it felt so magical to me. That was the only word I could use for it. And then, you know, the year after it felt very comforting. Very familial. We were with family in Missouri. I got to have snow on Christmas. That was really great. And then the one after that felt really weary, really bleak. Then I went into labor one Christmas night and 50 hours later had a baby. So that was crazy. But this year, my skepticism and curiosity, I suppose, maybe is leading the way for my experience of Christmas this year and this whole season. And it has me asking this question, why? Why is it so great to celebrate that God sent Jesus to be with us? Like, it's like, Jesus came to be with us. Yeah. And my brain is like going back to toddler mode of like, well, why? Why? You know, why? It almost feels like, have you guys ever, this might not be an experience everyone's had, but like a little kid, maybe a toddler, they've never had something like ice cream and some adult is like, you're going to have ice cream right now. Waiting for a reaction. The toddler's like, cool, I don't. What is that, you know? And the adult's like, no, I promise you, it's going to be amazing. Ice cream's amazing. You haven't had it before. It's going to be so good. And the toddler's like, ice cream, what is that? Like, why? And there's been this driving question for me this Christmas. Why is it so exciting? Why is the coming of Jesus so good? You know, and then there's a follow-up thought. I remember one of Jesus' names we talk about a lot this during the season. The name is Emmanuel. The Bible tells us that means God with us. So thinking about God being with us is kind of bizarre, so I feel a little closer to the answer. Oh, that must be tied to this excitement that everyone has. But also then I'm like, why? So today I'd like to talk to you guys about this experience of mine this year. Why is it so great that God be with us? I have this question. My brain goes back into skepticism mode, creates in me a toddler Gina of sorts. And I want to go back to what my answer is for that this year. But what is it about God that makes it so good to be with him or that he is with us? And this word with is so intriguing to me, right? So, okay. I talked about us living out of the country. And when we moved back, me and Mimo were involved in life group for a couple of years. And then we decided to be over a life group, to lead a life group. And I think around that first year, our life group went through this book called With. That's what it looks like. It is a book called With, and the subtitle is Reimagining the Way You Relate to God. It's an easy read, pretty simple, but kind of convicting, like kind of like a friend who's like just telling you like it is, no apologies, but not to harm you, just to help you out, try to get you to move forward. And in this book, the author, Sky Jathani, he talks about these four ways that his argument is that most, if not all, Christian people relate to God in these four different ways. So we're gonna briefly go through these four ways, and you parents can use your kids. I'd like you to try to use your kids as we go through every way, and I'll tell you how, okay? All right, so the four ways, life from God, life for God, life over God, life under God. Jathani's into prepositions, and I love that. So, life from God, our first one. Okay, so kids, can you act like you're giving your mom or your dad something? Mom and dad, hold your hands out like this. And kids, I want you to take something out of the air, whatever you want it to be, and give it to your mom and dad. Okay? People in this category, they want God's blessings and gifts. But they're not really interested in much else. Like, not really interested in God himself for any reason whatsoever. Just in the blessings and gifts that kind of come along with this supposed relationship we all talk about. So this might be, you might think of it as transactional Christianity. Very concerned with that transaction. And beyond that, not really, really concerned with this relationship, okay? So that's life from God. Give me, give me, give me, give me, okay? The second one is life for God, okay? And so this might be awkward, but parents, for those who are kids or old enough, if you could kind of like bow to your child, it won't cause any sort of counseling issues later. But don't make your child bow to you. That's the life for God, okay? This might be one of the most celebrated religious postures of our time, right? Life for God believes that the most significant life I can live is in service for doing great things for God. So this might be like Maybe a girl is wanting to go to medical school, and she's like, I got the grades for it. I can totally go to medical school. It would be a dream. But really, a real life living for God would probably mean that I just throw that out the window. Why does God need another cardiologist in the world? And I should probably go be a missionary. That would be a life that's significant, being a missionary in some foreign land, making extreme change for God, right? We hear about this. And this is a celebrated position, but this is life for God, right? So this great sacrifice in order to live for God. Third one, okay? Life over God. This, mom and dads, if you can place your child over your heads in some fashion. Life over God. Woohoo! We're going on a ride today. Love it. That's cute. That's actually really cute. Life over God. Okay, so this is the idea that you kind of abandon God altogether, him as a being, in replacement for proven formulas and controllable outcomes. So this might be like three ways to get to heaven, or I don't know, something like that. Proven formulas. The idea is success. So God, I mean, praying to you, being with you, spending time with you, that's a waste of time. Let me live life over you. Exercise this control in my own world over you and kind of leave you to the side. So that's life over God. Fourth one and last one, life under God. Parents, if your children can be placed under you in some fashion, go ahead and place them under you. I know the big kids are like, really? Really, Miss Gina? This is what we're doing today? The life under God. Okay. This approach sees God in simple cause and effect terms, right? We obey his commands. He blesses our lives, our nation, our families. Our primary role is to determine what he approves and disapproves and then vigilantly remain within those boundaries. It can look a lot like appeasing the gods or something like that. Maybe the gods are angry. We need to just like figure out how to get them to approve us. So that's life under God, living under this pressure like that. Okay, so as our life group read through these four things, it was shocking how easy it was for me to relate to each four and to see myself living within each four or some sort of cocktail of them throughout my whole Christian experience. And how easy it was to agree with the author that these four approaches of relating to God were largely unsatisfactory. Incomplete realities, ways of living and loving that fell short of what I had hoped for my Christian experience. And if we're honest, most Christian ministries kind of spend all their time and money kind of just moving people from posture to posture. Let's move people instead of under him, let's move him, or instead of over him to under him, instead of from him to for him, right? There's kind of just this move around. But the book suggests that life with God, this word with him, is an approach that's been largely undiscovered and unpracticed in our Christianity today. Okay, so the word with is still in my brain. So let's cut to last Sunday in the youth gathering. In our youth group, call it the youth gathering, we talked about the idea of God sending Jesus down to be with us. And again, this is kind of just my experience this year. But in this story, we talked about how Jesus' arrival was really messy and it was in the midst of mess. So, you know, Jesus came down to Jewish people. They were under a dictatorship at the time under the Roman Empire. Mary presented herself as a teenager pregnant out of wedlock. Joseph planned to divorce her silently, quietly because of the scandal. I mean, this messiness is what we talked about in youth group. Ultimately, Mary gave birth to Jesus in a barn. Later, someone was trying to kill Jesus. They had to flee. But one of my favorite parts of the lesson last week was when, there it is in the lesson I'm given for our curriculum. It just says simply, this is the mess that God chose to send his son into. And Christmas time shows us that God doesn't run away from messy families. And I was like, I get to say that to our youth. Our youth get to hear that from my vocal cords. And in fact, it said, while we sometimes opt out of the mess, check out of the mess, right, to seek some sort of solace of our own, zone out on our phones, video games, TV, whatever have you, in any form or fashion, God is doing, always doing the exact opposite. He's checking in to the mess. He is always genuinely present in what can feel like our broken and confusing experience of life. So as I taught this lesson, I kept thinking about how I was processing Christmas this year with this idea of like, why is it so good that God is with us in the first place? Like, what is my answer this year for that? And I was struck again by the name of Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And the word with was becoming a little clearer, right? A little more beautiful. So that now that question, what is it about God that makes him so good to be with us? Which is kind of cocky in essence. But it was met with a simple reminder in the youth lesson that God, this intriguing reality of God being a God who checks in to the messiness of family, my family, my life, your family, your life, and doesn't check out. And if for any reason at all, for me, that felt like a pretty decent starting point to my answer for my question, right? Maybe that's where everything begins. The fact that God checks in and doesn't bail. And maybe that's where this life with God begins. So, as I kind of close up, the thing we're talking about this morning is simple. It's just a challenge. Here in the gathering, we are always discussing and trying to practice ways of living this life with God, right? This so-called unpracticed way of doing life with God and Christianity, because we don't want it to be unpracticed anymore. We want to know what it's like to live that way instead of life to and from and under and over God, right? We all know what that's like. That's tiring us out, right? And even though it is, I mean, it's easy to go and live life that way. It's easy not only to relate to God in those ways, but to relate to one another in those ways. Control, the to, the from, and all those different ways. So I love this place because here we say, well, what about the with thing? What about God being with us? What type of power is that about? Because God, after all, did send Jesus to be God with us. We do all sorts of things. We practice engaging our imagination when we do imaginative exercises in here. We practice breathing and sensing God's presence in our breath. We do all of these things here in this service to kind of remind ourselves of what it means to be with God and to let go of striving. So here we go. Our challenge today on how to practice this life with God, on how to kind of let the other types of relating to God shed off again one more time, is going to be for us to be people who check in and don't check out of the lives and the relationships that God is sending to us every single day. Simple, right? You're like, yeah, sounds simple. Not very simple. But that's our challenge today. That's all I wanted to present to you guys, that we be people who check in to our lives. And the first way we're going to do that is to check into our own messy families. Check into our own messy families, not just your own, like, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, but even your faith family, even your work families, your friend families, right? The families you get to choose, your friend families. Check into the mess there. Don't even pretend like it's not messy. It is, but check in. Don't check out. Right? I have a friend who, it was going to be very difficult for her to go see her family for Christmas. There's a lot of pain there. And there's a lot of brokenness, right? What it means to check in is actually can feel painful. But she was brave and courageous, and she did it anyway. And no matter how unloving a person may be, becoming present to one another is exactly what God gave us the power to do by sending Jesus, who became God present to us, right? So check in with our families. Easy. Number two, check in with your messy relationship with God. And don't even tell me it's not messy, okay? Check in with your messy relationship with God. We are involved in that relationship, so it is a messy one. There is a story of this beautiful mausoleum. I feel like maybe we've talked about it before in here, but I'll go ahead and briefly just talk about it. It's called the Galla Placidia in Ravenna, Italy. And it's this beautiful, like when you go into the mausoleum, the ceilings are covered in this beautiful tile lined with gold, like gold pieces. And so it looks kind of iridescent. So tourists go from all over the world, they go to see this awesome mosaic. And they're gravely disappointed as they enter the mausoleum because this mausoleum has two windows in it, tiny windows, which are usually blocked by all the lines of tourists. And so you go to see this beautiful, I mean, scholars have talked about this mosaic in history being amazing, and it's dark in the room. And so many people will come, they'll arrive at the mausoleum, and they get impatient, they can't see what they came and traveled for, and they leave it. They leave the mausoleum. I mean, I don't blame them. But they miss the best part. Because with no advance notice, someone slips a coin into this little a little box on the side of the wall, and it triggers this lighting in the room. It triggers like this spotlight that kind of goes brrr, and glitters across the ceiling is how it's described. And everyone in the room is like, oh, oohs and ahs, you know, like all this amazing. And just for a few seconds, and then boom, dark again. And it almost feels darker than before because of the light, right, that every patient person got to see. So we're in this mausoleum, and then everyone's seeing this glitter across. And so, well, I'm going to stick around for the next part, but it's sporadic. It's not, you can't tell when it's going to happen with no advance notice. So this is like a lot like our experience with Christianity can feel at times, right? We come to Christianity hearing about the beauty that you find in this relationship with God, the salvation, the freedom, the peace, the love, all of these beautiful ideas. And many of us have experienced quite the opposite. It's hard to find friendships in the Christian world, or maybe it's just been so dark, right? And there we are sitting in the darkness, not just impatient, broken, desperate. We can find ourselves asking, what is so good about God being with us after all? What is that? But much like the light in the mausoleum, there's a light that is gifted to you and me to help give us a clearer vision of who God is and who he truly is and what life with him looks like. And with no advance notice, unpredictable, across our dark human experience, this vision of God is gifted to us in the person of Jesus. Can everyone say Jesus? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the light that shows us this beautiful life with God, right? And even if it's little by little, the reality of God's presence is shown to us through him. The reality of this with God life. So let's do that call and response that the little kids did. How do we know God loves us?
God loves Jesus.
Louder this time. How do we know God loves us?
God gave us Jesus.
Good job. Right, and that's not something you can slap on a billboard or dwindle down to three steps or control in any fashion. Because Jesus is a person. He's the image of the invisible God who can be found in the darkness of our lives, who is familiar with the darkness of our lives. And Jesus' invitation is into a relationship that will look messy because we're in that relationship. And the ones who left the mausoleum early missed out. The ones who check out miss out. Maybe they're in a hurry, maybe they're disappointed, but that's why this is my message for us today. It's short but sweet. Let's stay present. Check in to your messy relationship with God. Check in, stay checked in to your messy relationships with your family, your faith family here, each other. Let's stay present. This is just the beginning of what this God with us life is all about. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day and for all the kids in the room. And thank you for giving us a light. No matter how unpredictable Jesus' light can seem at times, that we have a light that gives us a clear vision of who you are. That when you feel invisible to us, we can look to him and see your goodness. That we can opt in for a life with you and let go of the striving of other ways of relating to you. That we can opt in of a life with each other and let go of the other ways that we relate with one another that cause striving, pain. Father, help us on this journey. And we give you all these things as we enter a new decade. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Love you. Enjoy your kiddos.